This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Jim Abler and John Hoffman are with us. Jim is a Republican from Anoka. John Hoffman, Democrat from Champlin, both members of the Minnesota Senate. In the op-ed section of the Star Tribune today, they offered up a story. The headline was, Bring on the Right to Live Debate. I'll just look at one graph just to set it up, and I appreciate both of you gentlemen joining the show. The recent events involving the case of Scott Quinter have reignited the debate. In our own backyard, Mercy Hospital in Coon Rapids, a man was about to have his life-saving machines unplugged against his will. The hospital even went to court to demand that his case be terminated. Its powerful lawyers declared plaintiff position is not supported by medical science or Minnesota law, and as a result, Mercy will ask the court to issue an order that Mercy has the authority to discontinue Quinter's ventilator and proceed with his medical care plan. He was transferred to Texas. He died soon after his arrival, and this caused a lot of conversation. Jim, I'm going to start with you. Why did you decide that this was the time again off this case to bring up this debate again?
Well, and this is just a case in point, and it's actually kind of timely. Particularly last week, three doctors from Hennepin County Medical Center wrote an op-ed in the same paper saying, yeah, they should have unplugged him. And I've been in the health business for over 40 years, and we used to talk about medical ethics and the end of life and so on. And that discussion happened 20 years ago with the a Karen Chauvin case, I believe. Chavo case. Maybe Denise, sorry, I messed up on that. But so it was a big discussion, and it hasn't been much of a discussion now. And it seems that the discussion has really moved in to insurance companies and hospital administrations about when people are going to be given the chance to live or not. And I really felt it's time for the debate, and this is a great opportunity to deal with this tragic situation, and I believe overreach by the hospital to engage in that debate.
Okay, John, it's one that has been debated in our country forever. It has come up before. Every situation has its own complications and nuance. How can you write something and that it's going to be approved in the legislature that fits in so many of these difficult circumstances?
You know, it's when you talk about, you know, difficult circumstances, I mean, we are at a point that we've never been in our state, in our nation, right? When you talk about we are absolutely stressing out our hospital systems, right? And yet, at the same time, we have an obligation to make sure that we are doing the best that we can in order to have people's unique needs or people's choices made whole, no matter where they are in the lifeline, right? And we talk about healthcare directives in Minnesota. We talk about all these other systems that are put in place in here. And then there's one case, what Jim and I started to have a conversation on is what we do in our committees is we're asking questions, right? I mean, if you really look at what we cited, Chad, it's really about, you know, well, who did this and what decisions were made? Is there a system currently in place? Yes, we know that there's an ethics committee that exists in hospitals, but yet ultimately who has the conversation about what does what and who does who, right? And it really is that systems conversation because Senator Abler's, you know, correctness. And if you're not having this question from a regulations viewpoint, then you're going to leave it up to the HMOs to make those decisions. And you know what? Bottom line is the HMOs look at bottom line, Chad. And so it really is more of questions. That's what we're throwing out there.
Okay, let me stay with you there on that, John. Are you more than hinting that we're going to see HMOs, insurance companies, who right now are just saying, nope, it's time to take Chad or Jim or John off the ventilator. It's not worth it, and we're doing it for one reason, because we don't want to pay it anymore.
No, it's a question, Chad. It really is a question. It's not a statement. It's a question. Truly, what is the reason why you exist as a health maintenance organization? What are the reason that you exist doing the health care that you're doing, right? Then the question is on the table saying, how are these decisions made, right? Who decides? When you're talking about your resources are being strained, that's all we're hearing from the hospital associations, right? Well, then who decides when, quality of life, how do you say it's declining, when does it decide who does what? And it's really the other thing that it fringes on is there's built-in ableism. There's structural bias in ableism. It's somebody specifically, if they're somebody with a disability, right, who considers what means quality of life in this aspect, right? Yep. And so I think, Chad, what it caused in the responses that I've been getting is it really opens up that debate. And Jim's right, man. Bring the debate on. Well, those three doctors who said, yeah, this is what we have to do, that's from their perspective. But yet that's from their perspective, not from a systemic perspective. And what Jim is saying is let's have a systems conversation on this.
So, Jim, do you think it's going to happen with the legislature coming to convene very soon?
I think the conversation needs to happen, just to echo what John said. I don't have a particular law in place, although there's discussions now about what, if we might make some changes about what desires you have to honor. But the bigger discussion is who gets to decide who gets to stay on life support, and also who gets to decide what they're even allowing them to do. There are some novel treatments from across the world that just may well help any particular condition that are not being allowed to be used in hospitals because we just don't do that. And so what's happening that I see is a loss of innovation on even having interesting treatments that may actually work for the people these days and to come. And then this discussion about, well, we just decided that we're done with you. And that's the debate that has to be provoked. And it's been a long time in the past, but quite a gap now. And that's the gap we're attempting to fill. Right to live, right to try. Who gets to decide?
Jim Abler and John Hoffman are with us. Jim is a Republican from Anoka. John is a Democrat from Champlin. Bring on the right to live debate is the headline of their op-ed that you can check out, Star Tribune or StarTribune.com. Okay, I love that we're seeing a Republican and Democrat here working together. Jim, I'm going to stay with you. Are we going to see a divide here, though, on this issue, Republicans one side, Democrat the other, or is this one where there is uniformity, by the way, in many ideas people are against and also that they're for?
And I'm my tea leaves are a little rusty on that. We'll have to see. It just came out today. I've had some bipartisan support and some concerns from people as well. But I think that it's important to have that discussion. This is different than the assisted suicide discussion, which is a whole different dialogue. But I think even those folks who favor that should agree that the person you're helping to die should actually want to die. What if a person doesn't want to die and there's scarcity of resources? Who's going to decide that that's the one to go? And so Alina, in the form of mercy, and the three doctors wring their hands. Oh, it's a difficult decision, and we're so sorry, but you're the one. And we have to talk about this. And the point of this is exactly what you're doing today, is to provoke a debate. Could be loud, could be calm. Hopefully it resolves the matter, or at least gets it back in the open discussion in medical and healthcare circles, and in all the psychological and cultural circles as well, is who do we value? And how do we find a way to make sure everyone is properly served? That's the debate.
John, for me, I think – sorry about that. John, let me jump in. No. I think this should be a priority, but we know this is an election year. We know there's a surplus of $7.7 billion. Do you have any feel if this is going to get much of a priority in St. Paul when you gather?
You know, Chad, if our impetus or our desire was to drive that aspect of it, then I think we're absolutely going down the wrong lane. The lane that we're really invoking is a discussion on the bioethics. It's an ethical, it's a medical ethics, not bioethics. It's a medical ethics discussion that needs to occur on a global collective, right? Is you're sealing all the anecdotal pressures that are out there within the system, but ideally, who is helping define or make those parameters exist? And I think this really gets it. As a case in point, Chad, comments from people are all over the board, right? And what it's caused is a lot of emotional responses from folks, right? Which is what our intent was, not to have a bad tone about something, but rather our intent was to throw the question on the table and get the folks in the room to have a discussion. Because if you're saying there are pressure points within the current healthcare system, then you know what? Make those decisions on a systemic level, which is, right within our committee and right within our conversation. And that's exactly what I saw. It's unfortunate that people personalized and started making comments, called me the Joe Manchin of the Democratic Party and Jim Abler the Rand Paul or Ron Paul or something of the Republican Party. And it's just like, this is not a political conversation. This is a life and death conversation. And this is a healthcare conversation. And this is an ethics conversation.
Exactly.
John, let me just push.
There's going to be a law coming out of this, but any law that would come would be a summary of people's points of view and a capitalization of what we think as a state. I don't know if we agree, if we even know what we think as a state. That's what we're after here.
And you know what gets me, Jim, on top of that, too, is the comments from some folks is, in that one article you talked about early on, Jim, there was a comment that said, 10% of all of our Minnesota critical care beds are occupied by patients receiving, ready this, non-beneficial care at their family's request. You just labeled something, right, that's personal to a family, right, calling it non-beneficial. Who defines what beneficial care is? Who defines what is non-beneficial care, Chad, right? This is somebody's opinion that was registered in the Star Tribune, right? And that was in, last week's article. And it's like, okay, so you're going to debate that. Well, then let's talk about non-beneficial and beneficial care. If we're going to have to define that, then I think we need to statutorily define that. I don't know. There's this current statute that exists on that, Jim.
But let me jump in on that, John. Let me jump in. And I think I'm glad you guys are having this conversation. And I'm just thinking in my scenario, if it was one of my kids or another loved one, that I would want my input heard loud. I also have to be respectful of a doctor involved in this case, too. I mean, these are trained individuals who know medicine better than me. I'm not a doctor. So they're not just tossing this out casually. That's why I'm saying that, because I don't know, because you can say it's for talk, but eventually some legislation needs to come about if there's real change. I just don't know how we deal with this on a case-by-case basis, because it can't be just 100% the doctor. It can't be just 100% the patient. And it seems to me, John, I could give you 100 cases, and every case is going to be different enough that I'm not sure a law is going to work for every case.
Right.
Well, and Chad, I think part of your point's very good. I think part of the clue is in the statement from the hospital lawyers that the plaintiff's position is not supported by medical science or Minnesota law, and et cetera. They asked the chance to turn off the ventilator. I think we also want to bear in mind the limitations of medical science and some things that medical science has been closed to in the past. And I think as advances happen in medical science, are we adopting those as the best ideas? Are we being inquisitive as to what else might actually work? Have we really tried everything, or have we just tried the standard official treatment that's approved by a hospital? And that's part of the debate as well. What is medical science? And then what is a fair treatment of a person who's having a very challenging time with their life?
And let me add,
I got to jump in. John, real quick.
Yeah,
real quick, because I'm up against the clock here.
Medical home, Jim, patient-centered care, person-centered experiences, right? Informed consent. Those all have an underlying piece in this as well. What does it mean by patient-centered care, person-centered care?
Sad thing.
Gentlemen,
time for the debate.
I appreciate it. We'll talk about it again, and I'll look forward to seeing what takes place.
Thanks.
Jim Abler, Republican, Anoka. John Hoffman, Democrat from Champlin, right here on WCCO. Never heard this Alicia song before.
It's so good, though.
You like this better, this her solo version?
Yes.
As opposed with your guy, Sean?
Both
good.
Are really good. I mean,
yeah. Really good.
She's just so talented.
I'm enamored. He's not exactly struggling.
No, he's doing fine. He's doing okay.
Not exactly struggling with talent himself. I think to quote Larry, pretty good for JC on the talent scale. Podcast us, Odyssey.com, Odyssey app. Sign up. We'll give you the option of segments, hours, good stuff. We try our butts off every single day to give you good stuff. It's up to you to decide if you like, if you don't like, if you want to listen because you love it, if you want to hate listen. We'll take it all. I respond to a bunch of texts. I think that's what I should do. You may not like what I'm saying in the text. I might not like what you're saying, but I still appreciate that you listen. Linda's construction time check is 2:58. Any issues with your windows, one way to go, Andy Lindis and Lindis Construction. Paul and Jordana are next. See you, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.